I wonder what you consider to have been the biggest business failure of all time. Probably not Blockbusters or HMV or Jessops, although all of those went into liquidation this month. What about 2012? Well, there was Sea France, JJB Sports, Comet. 2011, there was Borders, Habitat. Pontins was 2010. 2009, it was Allied Carpets and Reader's Digest. 2008, it was Circuit City, MFI, and Woolworths, and Silverjet. 2005, it was MG Rover. 2002, maybe it was Swiss Air. 2001, it was Enron and Polaroid. 1995, maybe it was Barings Bank or Bugatti. 1991, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. Well, that was pretty big. There was Pan Am and Polypec. But what was the biggest failure? The biggest failure of all time? Or perhaps rather the company with the greatest number of failures? How about Dyson? If Hoover is synonymous with the vacuum cleaner, Dyson has become synonymous with the dual cyclone bagless vacuum cleaner. And the bladeless fan, the uniball wheelbarrow, and the quickest, most efficient hand dryers in the world. 10 seconds from wet to dry. And every time I do it, I count to see if it still works. And probably the greatest number of failures of all companies that I know of, at least. If you go to their website, they boast about their failures. On their website, Dyson says, most people think testing is about durability and reliability. Of course, that's a big part of it. But before that happens, you need an idea that works. Dyson engineers get those ideas often by trying the ridiculous. Most of the time, it ends in failure, and that's good. Failure sparks thinking and the extraordinary. The extraordinary. There's a misconception that invention is about having a great idea, tinkering with it in the garden shed for a few days, and then appearing with the finished design that will make you a millionaire. Doesn't really work like that. Do you know how many times Dyson failed before he cracked the dual cyclone bagless vacuum cleaner? Do you know how many times he failed? 5,127 prototypes. If failure is depressing, it also instructs. Certainly, say 4,000 prototypes and 4 years into an adventure, any reasonable person would assume this is a failure. We're not going anywhere. Because in an extreme case of escalating commitment to a failed course of action, only a fool would go there. But not Dyson. You know, I'm a raving fan of Dyson products. They work, and when one goes wrong, they are enthusiastic to hear about it. Why are they enthusiastic? Because they want to improve their products. You could say the same about Apple and a small number of other leading-edge companies that consistently hit the market with tried-and-tested products that gain an instant cult following, build a lasting market share, and make a lot of money. But they all invariably begin with failures, and like Dyson, thousands of failures. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, when failure stares you in the face for the 5,126th time, they don't give up. So how do we overcome failure? How do we overcome failure? Well, think about it. Why do marriages fail? Why do families fall apart? People stop speaking to each other? Why do businesses go bankrupt? Why do teams disintegrate? Because people give up. And we all make mistakes, and sometimes they're pretty big ones. Failure can be frustrating, it can be depressing, it can be painful, it can be humiliating, and it can be costly. But failure can also be a learning experience, a stepping stone, a path, a route to maturity and hope. And in our gospel reading today, we can see in the experience of Peter as he encounters Jesus, we see how to overcome failure. We see that despite a whole night of fishing, Peter and his friends have not caught a single fish. These are not novices, they're experienced, seasoned, professional fishermen, just like you are. You are often seasoned, professional, experienced parents, partners, businessmen, teachers, doctors, nurses. Peter would have had the best boat he could afford. He would have had nets that were functional and serviceable. He knew where to catch the fish. His family depended on those fish. He didn't have a freezer or a fridge. But that morning, Peter was hungry. His family would be hungry. He was empty-handed. His failure became a stepping stone. Perhaps he was discouraged, he was tired, and they are washing their nets. Washing them because they want to preserve them for tomorrow night. Jesus comes along. Peter, I'd like to use your boat as a platform to speak from. Well, Peter wasn't using his boat, so he lets Jesus get into his boat, and they go a little way off the shore to give Jesus the maximum potential for an audience. On the hillside around the northern shore of Galilee, you've got some natural little amphitheatres that would have enabled Jesus to speak to lots of people at the same time. And Jesus gives his presentation, and at the end of it, he says, "Let's go fishing. Launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Peter replies, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when the disciples obeyed, the text says that they caught such a large number of fish, the nets began to break. And then when they got the other boat alongside to help, the boat began to sink under the weight of the fish. Now, Jesus never performed a miracle without a purpose. This miracle is not about how to catch fish. It's about who Jesus is and how we should respond to him. Maybe today you're feeling like that you're a failure, or that this week you have failed, this month, this year, your whole life. You work hard, your career, your marriage, your family, and you're tempted to give up. You feel like saying, "Well, what's the use?" Well, this morning, let's compare the before and the after, the night and the day, without Jesus in the boat and with Jesus in the boat. Let's see what we can learn from this encounter that might help us handle our own failures. How can I overcome failure? First of all, acknowledge God's presence in your life. Acknowledge God's presence in your life. Verse 3. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. Jesus' presence made a big difference. This time the disciples were not fishing by themselves. The first principle for overcoming failure is this: if you want success, you need Jesus in your boat. Nothing has greater influence in our lives than whether we are with or without Jesus. When you're a fisherman, your boat is your business. It's significant that Peter therefore made his boat available to Jesus. And Jesus uses Peter's boat as a platform for his ministry. Well, I wonder what your boat is. Maybe you've got a boat. Does God have access to your boat? Is your business available to him to use at any time? Is he able to minister to people through your career? Because too often we separate sacred from the secular. You know, we have our Christian life nicely partitioned off. There's Sundays and there's my career or my investments or my family. The truth is that God will only bless what we give him, what we give him back, what we dedicate to him, what we entrust to him. God will bless what we give. So if Jesus asks to use your career for his purpose, your assets for his purpose, what will you say? What about your family, your home, your time, your boat? You see, Jesus promised, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Is Jesus asking you today to allow him access to your life for his purpose? If you've never responded to his call in your life, then do so today. That's why we run Christianity Explored as a course, to introduce you to Jesus. The first principle we learn, to experience God's blessing in our life, to overcome failure, we need to acknowledge God's presence in our lives. Secondly, we need to cooperate with God's plan for our lives. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and I haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down my nets. And they did. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they began and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. If you want to overcome failure, if you want to have success, then you must cooperate with God's plan for your life. You see, this was the second time they'd gone fishing within about 12 hours, and they fished under the direction of Jesus. That was the difference. They were more experienced at fishing than he was, and yet they obeyed his instructions and see what happened. You see, we are often very, very skilled, very talented. We may have much in the way of worldly experience and wisdom. We may know how to make money, how to educate, how to heal, how to advise. But if we want to experience God's blessing, we must not only acknowledge his presence in our lives, but cooperate with his plan. You see, Jesus tells the disciples where to fish, when to fish, and how to fish. Peter's reaction is beautiful. He doesn't argue. He didn't listen to his feelings. He didn't ask questions or give excuses. He obeyed. You see, Jesus was being counterintuitive. When Jesus said, launch out into the deep water, Peter knew that you don't catch fish in deep water. You don't catch fish, or many, in the middle of the day. You catch them in the shallows, especially on the northern shore of Galilee, where the fresh water is flowing, the mineral water is flowing into the lake, and the best time to fish is at dawn. So, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is showing Peter that he must trust him, that he must take a risk. He must go where Jesus calls him. You see, what Jesus did was not only call Peter out into the deep water, he also called a great shoal of fish into the deep water as well. To convince a hardened fisherman that there was no natural explanation for this catch. When Jesus is at work in our lives, it will involve risk. He wants us in the deep water where we have to trust him. Outside our circle of confidence, our circle of experience, our knowledge base. And that's worrying, that's tempting, it's insecure. We may think, well, if I get serious and commit to serve Christ in my local church, I might get out of my depth. He might make me a fanatic. I might overcommit. My family might get upset. What will my friends think? And so what do? We ignore Jesus and we stay in the shallows. And we never experience his provision. I wonder if Jesus is saying to you this morning, let me into your boat. Let me guide you to where that fulfillment can be found. Where you can overcome whatever it is that you see as a failure, whether it's business, family, marriage. Cooperate with God's plan. Acknowledge God's presence in your life. That's the first step. That's what Peter did. Second step, cooperate with God's plan for your life. And then thirdly, trust in God's promises with your life. Trust in God's promises with your life. You see, when Peter obeyed, Jesus provided. And notice the first thing that happened. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees, at Jesus' knees, and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. You see the impact Jesus has when he works. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will be fishing for people." So they pulled their nets to the shore, left everything, and followed him. They trusted in his promises. They wanted to do God's will. They wanted to become fishermen, real fishermen. "Because you say so," said Peter in verse 5. "Because you say so, I will. I will let down my nets. I will go into the deep water. I will have another go. I will try again." I wonder in what way Jesus is saying to you, put down your nets. Put them down for me. Trust me. Peter trusted Jesus that if he put down his nets, it was worth doing. Peter expected God to act. He expected Jesus to keep his promise. And when Jesus did, it made Peter feel more of a sinner than he really was. You see, obeying Jesus is scary. You learn a lot about yourself that isn't always comfortable. But from this moment on, Peter wasn't trusting in his own ability to fish. He was trusting Jesus. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people," said Jesus. Now, if Luke's account is chronological, as we think, then this promise was made early on in their relationship. While Jesus is revealing Peter's true calling, fishing for people, it's going to take another couple of years of training. That's why we're running the Batagius Christian course. Several more failures, even denials, and deep repentance, as well as the Pentecostal work of the Holy Spirit, before Peter would indeed become a fisherman for people. But all of God's plans for the rest of Peter's life were all contained in that promise. And the adventure only began when Peter trusted in that promise. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled up their boats up on the shore. They left everything and followed him. Application? Or when you get Jesus' presence in your boat, when you get God's plan in your head, and you've got God's promises in your heart, you cannot fail. You will overcome whatever failure you feel in. Maybe you're saying, well, that's great. You don't know my circumstances. I'm defeated by my problems. I'm having some really hard times. Well, let me suggest an antidote. Take the notes from today, highlight the promises made, and then add other promises that you remember from the New Testament. Promises that God has made for his children, and read them, and memorize them, and trust them. Like Peter, start expecting God to act, and you will find that God's promises will inject new hope into a hopeless situation. Real growth often only begins at the point of failure. The disciples caught such a large number of fish, not only their nets began to break, their boats began to sink. They went from none to an overwhelming provision. That is the work of God. So how does this relate to us? I wonder whether you can identify with Peter when he said, I've worked all night and I've come with an empty net. I wonder if that expresses your attitude, perhaps, about your relationships, your family, your work, or a personal problem, an addiction, a fear. Well, if you feel like that, then I commend to you this book, When God Weeps. It's a book that's available on the bookstall. Why Our Suffering Matters to Almighty God. God cares. But I want to close with some quotes from one of the most influential leaders this country never deserved, Sir Winston Churchill. He said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Never give up on something that you cannot go a day without thinking about. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Two of my favorites. Success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. And this is a very profound one. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. On October 29th, 1941, 2 years into the Second World War, when Britain stood almost alone in Europe against Nazism, Churchill visited his old school at Harrow to hear the song sung by the kids when he was a young man there, and to speak to the students. And in his closing remarks, he challenged them with these words. Never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Do not let us speak of darker days, let us speak rather of sterner days. These are not dark days, these are great days, the greatest days our country has ever lived. We must thank God that we have been allowed, each of us according to our stations, to play a part in making these days memorable in the history of our race. I wonder whether we thank God for the opportunity we have to serve him in our stations and play a part in the building of his kingdom and make these days memorable in the history of our race. This morning, we have been thinking about three simple steps to overcoming failure, three profound, proven steps. Acknowledge God's presence in your life. Cooperate with God's plan for your life. And trust God's promises with your life. And the application is hidden away in verse 11. They pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, help us to follow you today, to be prepared and willing to give up everything to follow you, trusting that you will enable us to overcome whatever it is that holds us back, whatever it is that depresses and discourages and demotivates us. We ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.